It's the perfect season. And perhaps the sweetest premiership of all. And strike around the body. Pierce, he loves it.
They've got the chocolates and he might have the chicken.
All right, gather round, gather round. Look each other in the eyes. Put your game faces on and strap yourself in because it's time for the Monday Waffle Podcast.
Yes, that's right. It's time for the Monday Waffle Podcast. My name is Simon Orchard and I'm joined in the studio by the one, the only, Samantha Girling.
Hello. G'day, Sam. Hello.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling well. It was good to get some good old sunshine on the weekend.
Yeah, you did quite a big run.
Yeah.
Tell us briefly about that. Was it difficult?
Oh, yeah. I did the Dwelling Up Mighty Jarra Trail Run. Mm. And, yeah, it was quite a good trail, but you know, quite a few hills as well.
Did you get a bit lost? Is that what you were telling me before?
I may have got a little bit lost and done a few extra kilometres.
That's all the fun of a trail run, right?
That's it. I asked for a challenge and I now have learnt, you know, to be careful what I wish for.
Yes, exactly. Hey, and we should also say, I know this is a waffle podcast, but I'm in very prestigious company today. A nominee for the MEAA Student Journalist of the Year. Is that right?
In WA.
Oh, WA is the only place in Australia, if you ask me.
That's
most
it.
WA
it is
people.
Basically the unofficial capital state of Australia.
But congratulations.
Thank you, Simon.
So the listeners out there have the absolute best, and then just me as well, trying
to steer you
in some sort of direction. Hey, a bit on the show today, we're going to talk to Dylan Mayne from South Fremantle. We'll also talk to Jacob Lansmere, a commentator for The Waffle for Sport FM and also the host of Waffle World on a Monday night. And I know a lot of people will have a lot of anguish about this, but the Monday Rumble has been rested for the week. It'll be back next week, hopefully. Why don't we dive into this week's game, Sam?
That's right. The first game of the weekend was Claremont versus West Coast, and it was the Tigers that came out on top, only one goal ahead of West Coast in the end.
It was a real ripper, wasn't it? 66-60. From all reports, it was a bit of a dour contest, but that's what you want in finals footy. Nice, close, defensive stuff with, I reckon, a tight finish. And from what I've read, I didn't see the game, Sam, but Claremont kicked a goal about halfway through the fourth quarter to hit the front. And the Eagles, Brady Gray and Brendan Archie, had some opportunities right at the death of the game, but could only manage behinds. So, unfortunately, ends the season for the West Coast Eagles, which, as an Eagles fan, how do you feel about that? Do you think they've been a success so far this year, the Waffle team?
Well, first of all, as a game, when you have a chance at the end to pull through and you don't, it's so frustrating as a fan. But overall, taking a step back, it's been an incredible season, and to see the team go from, you know, not existing to being in finals in their first season is something you can really be proud of as a fan.
Yeah, I think when the dust settles today, they maybe go out and have a few drinks and, you know, commiserate, but also celebrate what's been a pretty good season. I think they'd be pretty happy. Just some interesting points out of the game. Obviously, West Coast played on the Thursday night against the Bombers in the AFL, but it gave the likes of Liam Duggan, Jack Petricelli, Jared Cameron, we mentioned Archie before, all came back into that Eagles side for this game. Claremont, I think, one of the top three teams this season, and it showed it on the ladder at the end of the season. They'd cleared out with Subiaco and South Fremantle from the rest of the sides. And Jai Bolton, we've had him on the show a couple of times this year. He's a dual Sandover medalist and he's a Simpson medalist as well. He had 40 disposals, 6 inside 50s, couple of marks and 3 tackles as well. Kane Mitchell, another former AFL player and former Sandover medalist, had 29 disposals, 6 tackles and a goal. And they just seem to get contributions from a lot of different players. So while the Waffle is over for the Eagles, it kicks on for the Tigers. And they'll be aiming to make their first grand final, Sam, since 2012, which is a pretty long drought.
Yeah, it sure is. And it will be very significant for them to get there. But to do that, they'd have to go through South Frio. Now, South Frio faced up against Subiaco on the weekend, and the Lions won 97-63. South Frio was the only side, however, to beat Subi this year. So, you know, people were thinking maybe they could take it to them, but in the end, Subi walked over them, especially in the third quarter when they got 6 goals within the space of only 12 minutes, with Ben Sokol kicking 2 of them and Reece Waters snapping 4 in a row. Pretty incredible stuff.
It's crazy, isn't it, for someone to kick 4 in a row? And as you say, pretty close contest from all reports until midway through that third quarter. And I think 6 goals in, 12 minutes or something is insane and really blew the game apart. It actually means that Subiaco now qualify for their 6th consecutive Waffle Grand Final, and only one team, East Fremantle, between 1904 and 1912 have played in more. They played in 9 Grand Finals in a row. So what a period of sustained success for the Subiaco team. Look, we've talked about Josh DeLuca leaving the club on this show before. He went to Carlton in the mid-season draft. A smooth-moving ball magnet in the midfield, and his departure, I guess, raised a few questions about Subiaco, but they just continue to go on their merry way. Ben Newton was outstanding and seems to have filled the boots of DeLuca quite appropriately. He had 28 touches, 8 inside 50s, 4 tackles and a goal. We mentioned Kyle Horsley most weeks. He's always in there. Sandover medalist favourite Lachlan Delahunty had 18 disposals, 10 touches and 28 hitouts in the ruck. And you mentioned Ben Sokal before, so he's the Bernie Naylor medalist, which is the leading goal scorer for the Waffle this year. And he was actually really well held for most of the game, but he did obviously get off the chain later on.
And as well, a bit of a shout out to Jason Masco from South Freo. It was his 100th game on the weekend, and we'll have more on that game from Dylan Main later on.
If we turn our attention just quickly to the Colts and the reserves, in the Colts competition, Peel Thunder won straight through to the grand final by beating Claremont in the second semi-final, 8-15-63 to 4-5-29. And West Perth, the Falcons, kept their season alive by beating East Perth 11-8-74 to 6-5-41 at Leaderville Oval. In the Rezzies, Claremont booked a spot in the grand final by beating West Perth 17-11-113 to 5-6-36. Believe it or not, Sam, an absolute shellacking. And in the other semi-final, East Frio defeated Subi 14-7-91 to 6-8-44. And just a little, you know, peek behind the curtains here. Subiaco obviously knocked out in the reserves, don't have a team in the Colts. So maybe, just maybe, this sustained period of success is sort of coming to an end.
We'll have to wait and see. And in the Waffle W, it's the Swans and East Frio who will face off in the grand final next Saturday at Lathlane Park. So good luck to both sides there as well.
All right, Sam, it's time to talk to the host of Sport FM's Waffle World, the afternoon drive program. He commentates Waffle on the weekend. He basically has fingerprints all over everything on Sport FM. He's been very kind to join us today. Jacob Lansmere, welcome to the Monday Waffle.
Oh, great to be here, Orch, and great to chat to Sam as well. Looking forward to reviewing what was a great weekend of WAFL. Yeah, I think it's been a great final series so far, guys. There's been 3 games decided by under 10 points, and Subiaco is still the benchmark, as we saw yesterday with their win over the Bulldogs.
Talk us through the weekend's action, Jacob. Did anything surprise you?
Not particularly. I think Subiaco were always expected to beat South Amanda, but the Bulldogs kept with them for a half. It was only 4 points in it at halftime at Leaderville, and then Subiaco went to work. They kicked 6 goals to none in the third. And, Claremont West Coast was a really good game of football. We broadcast that yesterday on Sport FM, and it went sort of one way then the other. It was hard to get a read on who was going to run away with the game, but the fact that West Coast were a player down after half-time probably hurt on a warm day as it was yesterday. So glad to see Claremont go on, and it sets up a great prelim against a somewhat wounded South Fremantle.
Now, I know this happens a little bit on Sport FM, but I'm going to ask you to put your coach's hat on. Subiaco are through to their 6th straight Waffle Grand Final. Who is most capable of beating them, and how can they do it?
That's a brilliant question. I wish I had the answer, because I think both Claremont and South Fremantle right now probably feel like they won't say this, but they're making up the numbers, because Subiaco have an aura about them. They've lost one game in the last 2 seasons. The Bulldogs have beaten them this year, and they're the only team to beat them in the last 2 years. So you probably have to say South Fremantle. We'll talk a bit about Claremont in a moment, but they've got a few injured players. I'm not sure whether they'll get them back if they were to play in a grand final in a couple of weeks. So I still think the Bulldogs are the team that could cause concerns for Subi on grand final day. You just have to get there. You hear the stories of teams that make it to a grand final and cause an upset on the day. I think of Hawthorn back in 2008 against the Cats, who had an aura about them then. I still think it's South Fremantle, but Claremont, you just never know. They're a team that scraps hard, and if they make a grand final, they're every chance of pushing Subi.
You were at the Claremont game on the weekend, and Jai Bolton got 40 touches. What do you think the opposition has to do to shut him down? Do they need to tag him? Like, what's the best play for them?
It's a good question, Sam, because West Coast didn't tag Jai Bolton in the first half. He had 24 disposals to halftime, and we're actually just outside the West Coast Eagles coaches box, and you could actually hear them discussing it as they went down the stairs at halftime in that game. I think they do have to tag Jai Bolton, but they did try to tag him after half-time, the Eagles, and he still had 16 disposals. So I'm not sure you can say that the tag quelled his influence on the game. He just runs so hard. He burns off opponents with gut running. Maybe his skill level isn't as great as some of the other midfielders in the competition, but just his will to get to one contest and then to the next is quite remarkable. It's a shame I don't think we're going to see him on an AFL list again. He's 27 now. He's won two Sandovers. He'll push for a third. But if you're South of Manly and you're the coach, Todd Curley, you're definitely considering tagging Jai Bolton, but he's still going to have an impact regardless of whether you send a stopper to him.
Absolutely. 16 touches while being tagged is quite impressive. Now, you mentioned West Coast. Taking a bit of a step back and looking at their season overall, how do you think they went in their first season and what sort of evolutions did you see over the season?
They certainly grew as a club. I think that they were very well supported. I guess that's expected. They're an AFL juggernaut, the West Coast Eagles, and they have a fair few fans as a flow-on effect from that. They were 2-7 at the halfway mark of the year, and looking as though I thought they were going to finish stone motherless last at that stage. They weren't playing great football. Injuries had hit, but they got some players back. Drew Petrie came out of retirement to help them out in defence, and they found a way. I mean, they won as many games as they lost in the end. They finished 10 wins, 10 losses for the year. They win a final. They've had a pretty good year. They've made it to the second week of September. Everyone was talking about them as a chance to win the flag, a bit like Peel did a couple of years ago with the alignment with an AFL club. I think they can be pretty proud of what they've done this year. I reckon the Waffles breathing a sigh of relief that they didn't go all the way through to the grand final and potentially win a premiership at the end of it. But I reckon they can be pretty proud of their year. There's some young guys there on an Eagles list who are going to be playing AFL football in the next couple of years, you would have thought. And a guy like Nick Reid, who kicked 23 goals for the year, who's not an AFL-listed player, he had a pretty good year, a North Beach product, left footer. He had a pretty good year. So all in all, I reckon the Eagles get a tick for 2019.
You're listening to the voice of Jacob Lansmere. I was going to say a rising star of the broadcasting world, but I think you're a bona fide star already, JL. Hey, let's step off the field for a moment. Look forward to next week's Sandover medal, which will be covered by 91.3 Sport FM. Who do you think will win? And is it true that you're going to be doing a bit of a roaming Brian impression on the night?
Oh, I'm not sure it's a roaming Brian impression, Orch. It's going to be a bit of fun, though. It's my third Sandover, and you pinch yourself every time when you see the people who walk into the room and some of the stars of West Australian football that are there on the night. I'll be doing a bit of roving reporting. I don't think I'll go to the extent of roaming Brian, but it's a great night. I think Lachie Delahunty's probably the favourite from Subiaco. He's had a monstrous year. He plays in the ruck. He wins the ball around the ground. He averages high 20s as far as disposals are concerned. So I think he's the favourite. And then you've just got to look at a guy like Hayden Sloyth, Jai Bolton, Kane Mitchell. They're all ball winners. They're all former Sandover medal winners. They attract the interest of the umpires. So they're the guys that will poll well on the night. And Jackson Ramsey's a bit of a smoky from East Perth. He's had a fine year. He's an ex-AFL player at Collingwood. So he'll poll votes as well. But yeah, as to the extent of my roaming around with a microphone, I'm not sure I'll be annoying as many people as VT Brian Taylor does, but I'll see what I can do.
Beautiful. We look forward to it. Hopefully, Sam, we can get the winner on the show next week. That'd be a great coup for the Monday Waffle. Hey, JL, before we let you go, it might be quite straightforward, but can you give us a tip for who's going to win the Waffle this year and who are a couple of players to watch out for if people are getting down to the games over the next couple of weeks?
I think Subiaco win the premiership. They're already in the grand final, so they've got 2 weeks to sit on it. I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing. We'll find out, I guess. But I think South Manor will get over their little curse. They've lost 3 prelims in a row. I think they'll beat Claremont. So Subi South Manor to make it through as far as grand finals are concerned. As far as players to watch, good question. I mean, a guy like Kyle Horsley is 32 this month. He's probably at the end of his career. What a career he's had, though. He's been a remarkable servant of the Subi Footy Club. I think this will be his 7th Waffle Grand Final. He's one to watch. You're always looking at guys who might be, pardon me, coming towards the end of their careers. So Ian Richardson suffered a fractured collarbone yesterday. I'm not sure whether he'll get back, but if he does get back to play a part in this series, the final series for Claremont, that'll be a good story. There's great talent around in the WAFL. I think if you don't get to the Waffle during the year, this is the time to go because the best teams are playing and the best players are out there strutting their stuff. So you can't go wrong getting along to either this weekend prelim final at Fremantle Oval or the grand final at Optus Stadium in 2 weeks' time.
Really well said, Jacob Lansmere. Thanks for joining us on the Monday Waffle and good calling, mate.
Absolute pleasure, Orch. Stay well, mate, and look forward to chatting again soon. And good on you, Sam.
Great. Thanks, Jacob. Dylan, thanks very much for joining us. Dylan Mains, the captain of the South Fremantle Bulldogs. So, Dylan, how's the team feeling after the weekend's match with Subi?
Yeah, it's a little disappointing how we performed yesterday, particularly in the third quarter. We really backed ourselves in to have a good crack. We were fairly confident that we could bring it up to them. But, yeah, if we take out the third quarter, it was a pretty even contest, but we just let ourselves down then, and something that we need to fix up, I suppose, going into this week's game and hopefully again in 2 weeks.
And I understand that Seaton Thomas hurt his hamstring. Will he be back for next weekend?
I'm not too sure how severe that is. I haven't had a chance to touch base with him or any of the physios, so I don't think it was too promising, but... yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
How's the team feeling? You've had a lot of consecutive games, no week off in the finals so far.
Yeah, no, I think we're fairly healthy at the moment, actually, which is good. We got a few boys that came back for yesterday's game in Zach Strom and Zach Dent. But I think running in with a few games under our belt is always good, especially when it's a winning, when we're winning. Unfortunately, it wasn't the case yesterday, but I think it's always good to be playing those games. Sometimes having a week off can take a little bit of a, I think, backward step sometimes. So, I mean, we're happy to keep playing. Obviously, we would have liked to win yesterday, but we did all the work through the season, so we've got a second chance and hopefully can redeem ourselves this weekend against Claremont.
Touching on what you just said, do you think there is an advantage in keeping on playing every week instead of sometimes having that awkward one-week break?
I mean... If you got the injuries, I suppose the week off's always good. I know there's lots of people that talk about in the AFL when they get their week off before the finals, it actually hurts some teams. But I mean, either way, we're not too bothered. I don't think it doesn't change too much. It's always good to have a week off, but then at the same time, like I said, if you're winning games, it's always good just to keep getting back on the park every weekend.
And looking forward to this weekend, you're playing Claremont on Sunday during the season. One win, one loss against them, and again defeating them in the first round of finals. What's the feeling going into this match then?
Yeah, obviously I think we've played them twice in the last 4 or 5 weeks, so plenty to play for this week. We can't really dwell on the past performances because everyone knows finals is a different sort of brand of footy, so... we've just got to go back to what we believe that we can play a trademark footy and stick to our game plan. And I think that we can take it up to Claremont again this week. So just got to, get training this week and work hard on what didn't work against Subi yesterday. And hopefully it can all pull together and we can get a win.
As captain, what will you be saying to the boys in the huddle before the bounce down?
Oh, nothing changes really. It's just another game of footy. All the hype around it being a final, but I mean, once you get out there and the ball's bounced, nothing changes. Everyone's there because they can play footy, so no one needs to do anything special. They just need to play their role, and hopefully everyone can do that, and we should be all right, hopefully, by the end of the game.
The game's at Freo. Does it make much of a difference playing at home?
I mean, it's a little bit of an advantage, I suppose. We're used to all the atmosphere there, the ground and whatnot. Obviously, we train there every week. But Claremont are a really strong outfit, especially through the midfield, so it's going to be a tough ask. But it's always good playing at South Australia.
And if you do make it through, then you'll be playing Subi in the grand final. Bulldogs are the only team to have beat Subi this year and even last year as well. How did you do it, and what do you think you need to do it again?
Yeah, good question. So, yeah, we were lucky enough to beat them earlier on in the year up in Leadville. And I think, like I said yesterday, we took it up to them for 3 quarters. It was just that one little, the patch in the third where I think they kicked 6 goals to nothing that we need to sort of restrict that, I guess. I mean, each team's always going to get their run on and momentum in the game, so it's just a matter of limiting that when they do. Obviously, we can't look too far ahead to that because we've got to get the job done this week, but I feel as if we did get there, we could really give it a red-hot crack as well.
And this year, there was quite a few players, experienced players, who retired at the end of last season. You know, Ashton, Hams, Ryan Cook, Shane Hockey, and Corey Delalio. So how's the team evolved over the season with this new group of players?
Yeah, it was hard losing all that experience, I suppose. There was plenty of games that went out when they left. But we've had a lot of young fellas just coming in, playing their role, really buying into the culture, the trademark, what we try and live by each week, which has been very promising. Obviously, we've shown that although we lost those players, we can still play some really good footy, and those young fellas are sort of leading the way in doing that. So as long as we can keep a tight-knit group, keep the culture going, I mean, hopefully we can go all the way.
You mentioned that trademark, they're buying into that culture, and what exactly is that? What does that look like?
Oh, I mean, I think all teams sort of have their own trademarks. It's something you sit down at the start of the season and work out what we stand for as a footy club, whether that's just being a united group or whatnot. I think every team has it, and we've got our own that we keep between the four walls. And I think, yeah, so we created the trademark and everyone's living by it at the moment. And that's all we can ask. If we all live by that, the footy will take care of itself, and hopefully the scoreboard will too.
I've got one more question for you. We've already asked Jacob Lansmere about this a moment ago. Who do you tip for the Sandover medal this year?
Oh,
tough one.
I think Sloy's had a great finish to the season, so I'll have to put my money on him, I think. Delahunty's also had a great season, so he'll be up there. And then you've got the likes of Horsley, always polls well, and I think Dragovic for us will have a great start to the season. So I think there's a few chances this year, so it should come down to a tight finish, hopefully, and hopefully it's a good night.
Dylan Mayne, thank you so much for joining us today.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Well, Sam, that's it for another episode of the Monday Waffle. Fantastic to talk to Jacob Lansmere, Dylan Mayne as well. Some wonderful insights from both of those men. Hey, if people want to get out and watch some waffle action this weekend or even the grand final in a fortnight, where do they have to go, Sam?
Well, on sunny Sunday at 3:10, you can head down to the Fremantle Community Bank Oval to see South Frio take on Claremont. And the following weekend, the grand final will be at Optus Stadium. The league bounce downs at 2:40 p.m. Tickets are also on sale already, so anyone who's super keen can, yeah, get around it already.
Get in early and get their ticket to an Optus Stadium finale, which, you know, holds 60,000 people. It'd be great to see that place heaving.
Wouldn't it?
For a waffle grand final, especially with this beautiful weather that we've got now. Thank you so much today.
Thank you, Simon.
MEAA award nominee joins us on the Waffle Podcast. Absolute scenes around the office here. We'll catch you next week.
We'll do.
Hooroo.